This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Okay, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame... Korg... Encarta.
Okay. Korg Encarta.
Yeah.
Or in
Korkata.
Or in Korga. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I guess I could do that too.
Yes. So, today on the show, we have a special episode where we are talking about the fourth film in the Thor franchise. The, 5,000th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Thor, Love and Thunder. So
yeah, let's do it.
First off, initial thoughts.
I thought it was a great movie. I liked it a lot. I thought it was very fun.
Yeah, so did I. I thought it was fun.
I like how they kind of they sort of transitioned Thor into like a somewhat humorous comedy character since the first one came out was 2011, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, the first
two, and then
first two movies were pretty serious.
Yeah, he was a serious character, and then Avengers comes out, he's kind of somewhat humorous there, and then we get the Thor Ragnarok, which was kind of sort of like him sort of breaking the, I guess, fourth wall. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the right phrase or not, but like,
breaking the fourth wall is when you talk to the audience.
Well, I guess breaking, I don't know what wall you would call it, like where, like, I guess like the expectations of what you would think that character would be. I don't know if there's a phrase for that or not, but like, because that one was kind of funny too. With you got Hulk, it was kind of like gladiator stuff.
Yeah,
and then obviously with Endgame, he let himself go and he drinks beer and plays video games all the time and with Korg, and so you kind of got this sort of Big Lebowski vibe going on in that whole movie.
Yeah,
he's like drunk the entire time throughout the whole movie. And then, excuse me, I have some water here. And then you got this movie, which is just kind of, leaning into that, basically, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, Taika Waititi, the director, and also the voice of Korg, directed and, I believe, co-wrote both this and Thor Ragnarok. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, he basically changed the character in a lot of ways, changed the expectations for the character. I liked this movie, not as much as Ragnarok, but it was still good. I thought Ragnarok had a little more depth to it, if that makes sense. I don't know. And this seemed to be and I'm not saying this in a bad way at all. I'm just saying that this is what they did. They kind of took the stuff that really worked in Ragnarok and upped it a little bit in this movie.
Mm.
But almost too much, you know, but it's still a good movie. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's like, it felt like a little bit of a letdown from that movie. It's really, it's hard to top some movies, you know what I mean? Sequels aren't always as good as previous films. So.
Yeah. I had the opposite feeling, actually. I thought this was actually better than Ragnarok, but it's been a while since I've even seen that one.
Yeah,
so.
I've seen Ragnarok like 5 or 6 times, and I really like it. It's one of my favorite Marvel movies, period, so that's probably why.
But hey, you know, you're not allowed to like a movie, you know, that someone else doesn't like, or that means that you don't understand how films work. And yeah. And then if it turns out that you actually like a movie that's objectively worse than this movie, then but somehow you're the film expert, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's an inside joke. But
yeah. That's what happens when random people on Facebook attack you for no reason. But yeah.
Yeah.
Just because you post that you thought Thor Love and Thunder was fun.
And then some mentally ill person just start sending you a bunch of messages about how you suck and you're a terrible person and blah, blah, blah. But then this person, you know, finds out, you know, in the midst of all of their, like, objectively insane postings, and I say that in a clinical sense, because
yeah.
It sounds like there's a new phrase on social media called schizo posting. I'm not a huge fan of it, but basically yeah. That's what it is, where it's like just unconnected thoughts, just like instead of just writing one post describing everything, you write like 50 posts and the people have to try to piece together what they might actually be talking about, you mm-hmm. know, because they're so like their brain is just so like disjointed that they're just can't like keep hold of a single thought for more than 2 seconds. But yeah, this guy was going around, you know, saying, oh, how he loved Doctor Strange the Multiverse of Madness, which in my opinion this movie's way better than that movie was. If anything, I still call that movie now Scarlet Witch in the Multiverse of Madness featuring Doctor Strange, because that's actually what the movie is. But no matter, that's a whole other thing. But anyway, so it's like if you were, I'm not saying it's good, but if you were to judge someone by the movie they like, I would say liking that movie over Thor Love and Thunder would make mm-hmm. you the inferior person, if we were going by that logic. I'm not, but if we were, you know.
and by no means do I or probably anyone feel that this is the greatest movie since Citizen Kane or anything. So, no. You know, I'm just saying.
It's a fun movie. Come on, yeah. Superhero movies are supposed to be fun, okay?
Yeah.
They can be serious too, but they're popcorn movies mm-hmm. or they're Mike and Ike's or Mike and Sesame's or, you know, or,
yes.
or you know, or whatever. They're not meant to be... Good. What's that?
Those don't taste too good.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why DC fails so much, because I think they try to make their movies like way too serious for superhero movies, and people just don't like that as much.
Well, yeah, some of their movies are. I mean, I will give them the second Suicide Squad movie. Yeah, the Suicide Squad. That one was good. Shazam was better. Was good too. So yeah, you know,
Peacemaker, the TV shows,
yeah,
great. But yeah, but that's them. I think kind of taking their cue from Marvel. Like, okay, we got to stop making all these like really dark, like yeah, you know, like. But anyway, sorry, we're kind of.
Anyways, so let's dive in here. What's happening in this film?
I mean, a lot. So I don't remember the exact chronology. This might matter, but so I think we open up with Gore, who's he becomes the main villain in this movie. He's with his daughter. She's sick. They're both like starving and. You know, hot, because they pretty much just live like an arid wasteland now. There's no trees or anything like that. There's no food, so he's trying to keep her alive, but eventually the only two words she says is "I'm tired," and then she dies. And then she like used to like draw and stuff, so she was drawing on a lot of the rocks that were nearby. So then he buries her, and then he hears. Some kind of whispering. I didn't really hear exactly what it said. I think it said "come to me" or something like that. And then he ends up going, ends up finding this oasis, you know, which is like terrible because, you know, literally could have just gone to that oasis and got food with his daughter before she died. But so then he finds like, you know, like a pond or whatever, you know, drinking the water. He finds like a bunch of fruit. So he's just sort of gorging himself, you know, on this fruit. And then all of a sudden we hear laughter and he looks up and it's his god that he worships from his planet or people or whatever. He was the one that was asking him to save his daughter. And he even said during his prayer too that he's not praying for himself. He's praying for his daughter to be saved. And then, you know, he's pleading to him like saying that he's, you know, like he's his last worshiper left. Like there's everyone else has just been wiped out. They're all dead. And then the god's like not even like at all concerned about that. He's like, oh, those people? Oh, that's no big deal. Like we'll just find other worshipers, no problem. And then, you know, the other gods are, cause there's like a bunch of other gods that are like with them, like just celebrating. And he's, at first he's kind of laughing with them until he realizes that they're actually mocking him. And he's like, wait a minute. Like we've given everything for you. Like we've died for you. Like, you know, literally my entire people have died worshiping you and you didn't bother to help us. And he's like, yeah, what's the problem? Like we're gods. We can do whatever we want. We don't care about you. And like, so, and he's like, why are you, you know, why are you like celebrating whatever? He's like, we're not celebrating you coming here. We're celebrating our recent kill or whatever. And then he looks over and there's some guy, like some body, like in a black suit of armor or whatever. And he had the necro sword, which is like some powerful sword that's able to kill gods. And you know, I guess they killed him or whatever. So that's what they're celebrating for. And then Gore insults the god basically just out of rage, and then the god like grabs his throat and stuff like that and says, all right, well, I'm just gonna kill you. But then the necro sword starts lifting itself up to Gore, and then eventually gets into his hand, and he just goes and stabs the god. And the god says, oh, well, the sword's chosen you now, that means you're cursed, you're cursed. And he's like, cursed, it feels more like a promise. And then he cuts the god's head off, and then probably kills all the other gods.
Yeah, the god's name is Rapu.
That's right, yeah.
I was trying to find who played him. Yes. Anyways, so you can continue. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, so that's, we just get the beginning now of Gore's story, that he's now vows to kill all gods, because not only did his god not save his entire race of people, let alone his daughter, when they were just like, you know, maybe a few hundred yards away from, you know, the arid land or whatever that they were, you know, living on, that, you know, the gods are just, you know, mock and treat him like shit, you know. So he's like, all right, well, this is what gods do apparently. They just gorge on their own food and they don't even care at all. Very interesting, almost atheistic plot line to this movie, like, and, or deist, or this theistic, because I actually looked it up. So like there actually is a word for people who believe in gods but they actually hate the gods, and they consider them to be their enemy, and it's called this theism. So atheism, you just don't believe in them at all. But so it's like, you know, like the whole quote angry atheist motif, like this even goes
farther
beyond that, where it's like, no, I believe in the gods, I just hate them on the straight, you know. And so that's like his beginning of his like arc, you know, his story arc.
Yeah, which I think is an interesting allegory to reality, where it could be about like the beginning. We get like this whole thing where the gods don't care about the Earth anymore that he's living on, the planet that he's living on, not Earth, but the planet that he's living on, and basically let it become this desert wasteland. You know, it's kind of like how people don't care about the environment as much as we should sometimes and worry about that. And also how people that are in power, aka gods, are like, you know, only caring about themselves and not and want the adoration from other people. And even when they do things that seem like you know, like charity or things of that nature, it's usually just to make themselves look good.
Yeah.
You know, not usually, but, you know, there are genuine people out there that do, you know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I've heard somebody compare Gore in general to, like, Marx, because his family had died and he blamed the wealthy people because of the inequality of riches and stuff. So, yeah. So anyways, there's interesting allegories there to, you know, things that happen in the real world, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But so basically, Gore goes off killing a bunch of gods. While this happens, our buddy Thor is hanging out with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and one performance that I think was very lackluster in the film was Chris Pratt's, like, phoning in of his performance, in my opinion. He really just didn't look like he wanted to be there.
Oh.
That's how I felt. It's just kind of, I mean, I like Chris Pratt normally, but it just felt like he was, like, contractually obligated to be in this movie and didn't really give it his all, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
And they were only in, like, what, 5 minutes of the movie
kind of painted themselves into a corner when it came to Endgame when he went off with the Guardians. So,
yeah.
we had to kind of catch up with Thor with the Guardians. Or at least explain it in dialogue, but, you know, we did get the actors there, you know, but it just seemed kind of, like, lackluster. It's like, yeah, we're just kind of spinning our wheels here until our movie comes out, where we might give it our all. That was my one, like, I think the performances in this movie were great, except for that. But, anyways, we've got this whole, like, big battle that Thor is, like, saying, hey, you know, we won this battle, when he's the one that just basically fought it all for them.
Right.
And killed a bunch of people, killed a bunch of villains and saved this planet while also destroying this temple to their god.
Yeah, because Gore killed their gods, too, yeah. I guess. And then, I don't understand who these other people were they, like, working on behalf of Gore, or are they just, like, random villains? Like,
oh, they said in the dialogue a little bit there that because of the gods being killed, the land became an unrest. Like, when the gods were not killed, there seemed to be, like, a unifying people. These were also people of this planet, I guess.
Oh, okay.
They're, like, two species on this planet. And they were basically held together both based on their belief of these gods.
Oh,
I see. Once the gods were gone, then they started to hate each other or something.
Oh, God. Okay.
Or the one group started to become mean or whatever, basically, is what they kind of said. So that happened. But Thor gets a distress signal when they're looking at these, you know, other places that they can go to help people, from Sif, from Lady Sif. And he goes to help her, and she's, like, injured and wanting to die because she wants to die in battle, but he explains to her that the battle's over, so she's not really going to go to Valhalla if she dies outside of battle, which...
It's just so stupid. Yeah. It's just like, wait, but I fought in the battle. Like, I can't go to Valhalla just because I didn't die in the battle itself. Yeah.
And she lost she lost her arm in the battle, and he says, "Well, your arm's in Valhalla."
Yeah, maybe you are. So yeah, they take him.
Yeah,
what, like, New Asgard and infirmary or whatever. I guess. Oh, but we also forgot, though, too, those people then gave Thor these goats as, like,
reward.
But even though he destroyed their temple by a mistake.
So yeah, but if they don't have the gods, they don't really need the temple anymore. So.
Yeah, well, I know, but. They had this whole thing where it's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I don't want to talk about the temple. It's like, I think we should talk. He's like, no, it's making me more angry. Like, so they give him, like, these, like, really large goats, I guess, is, like, as a gift. But they, like, scream all the time. maybe that's one of the things you're talking about, them overdoing the comedy bit, maybe, of just the goats are always screaming every time.
Well, it's not even the comedy that they overdid. It's like just the mechanics of Ragnarok, like different things that happen in that movie that they kind of like turned up to 11 in this movie. Like Korg, for example.
Yeah.
I like the character of Korg, but he's better in smaller doses. And then they turned down some things that I think they should have turned up more, like Valkyrie. But that's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just my personal feelings. I think there's a better movie out there with less Korg and more Valkyrie. Yeah. Anyways, so we've got these goats that he's given. And meanwhile... on Earth, Dr. Jane Foster, who is Thor's ex-girlfriend, she's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And the medical treatments are ineffective. She thinks she hears Mjolnir calling her. So she goes to New Asgard, hoping that the hammer can magically heal her. It reforges itself, and she basically ends up becoming Mighty Thor. So, you hear any music? A car just drove by where I'm recording, and was playing some rap music very loud. Okay, so...
Got Joe off my speakers.
Yeah.
I had other people have to listen to what I'm listening to because I'm, you know, like so important or whatever.
It's true. So what goes on here? Yeah.
What's that?
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just saying because the theater I saw it in, the speakers aren't as loud as like some of the other theaters, so I couldn't hear like every little like nuance that like some of them theaters might say, but like. I saw her pick up, like, a book to look at Mjolnir. Is that when it called out to her, kind of?
Yeah, the book started talking, sort of.
Oh, the book. Okay.
It whispered to her.
Oh, I see. Almost like the sword whispered to Thor, I think. But, like, and then, okay, yeah, then she saw something about, like, how it could restore health or something like that. Or, my question, though, about that, though, is, so... You know, in Endgame, Thor went back in time to get his hammer. So, why isn't that hammer like in at play anymore? Like, I forgot what happened in Endgame where, like, I don't know what happened.
Did he destroy the hammer in Endgame?
I don't remember if he did it. Why would he?
It's been a while since I've seen it, so I don't remember.
Got purpose or just like got destroyed? Like,
I know that. I know that in Ragnarok, Hela destroyed it, but yeah, he did go back. But then he did go back in an Endgame. Maybe he had to return it.
Okay, I was just wondering why.
Because there's a chance he. Well, I know that at the very end of the movie, Captain America has the sword. I mean the hammer.
Oh, so he still kept it with him then?
Yeah. My theory is that when Steve went back in time to return everything to the way it was, like the stones and whatnot that he had to go back to, he probably brought back Mjolnir with him and returned that to where it was supposed to be. Because depending on the theory of time travel here, if Thor took it from the past, then it wouldn't be there later when he needed it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But I thought they said the past doesn't get affected when you go... I remember. It's so complicated.
It is. It's very complicated, so it's hard to say. But I'm just saying that that's a possibility because, Steve did go back and put things into place that he needed to. So my theory is that they had to go back and fix some things.
Yeah. No, I remember that. I'm starting to remember. Yeah, Bruce said that the future won't be affected by change in the past, but you still can affect the past. So yeah, if they didn't put that back, then that whole
It'll create another timeline, but you're basically fucking up the original timeline.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So that's probably what happened then.
Yeah. So that's probably why we only have the hammer that that Hela had destroyed. So
Jane can now use.
Yeah. So what goes on next here?
Well, you know, he takes Lady Sif to the infirmary in New Asgard. This whole town has become like a tourist town. It's very sad to see, you know, because they got like a ride and all these dumb, you know, touristy attraction places. They even have an ice cream store called the Infinity Cone, which is like, really? And then
yeah, Infinity, you get it, cones. Infinity Stone? Cones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Infinity Cones, because you get it, you know, Infinity yeah. Stone. And then
I think it was spelled
like
a Z too, I'm pretty sure, but yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, you know, like, what a weird way to, like, make a I mean, that's like, it's like having, like, a restaurant named after, like, the Nazis or something like that. But, like, you're not a Nazi yourself. You're, like, the victim of the Nazis, but then you're making a restaurant named after. It just seems like very.
But you could whatever. Think of it. You could think of it in this way. I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, or actually the
Thanos advocate.
Thanos's advocate here. There is the whole thing where Christians wear crosses around their neck because that is a symbol of the sacrifice that people made, that one person made specifically, being Jesus.
Well, yeah, but
so maybe the Infinity Stones are the symbol of the sacrifice that.
But not really, because that's Thanos sacrificed everyone else, though. Not
I know. I'm just. I said it was a far stretch here. So,
but Tony did, but it didn't look like Tony's hand. It looked like the actual gauntlet itself. But whatever. I think it just demonstrated how this town's become like the touristy, you know, soulless. Town. I mean, like, I feel bad for towns like that where that's the only way they can make money is just like just degrading themselves, essentially. You know, and
like something that used to be a cool town, and then all their businesses closed up, and then they've got one thing going for them of some sort.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, the you know, come to our town and see the world's biggest artichoke or whatever. You know, so you're like, or, yeah,
yeah, the world's biggest pistachio or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Or go to our Rainforest Cafe. You know, sorry, it's a whole other video. But yeah, but, yeah, and they
actually,
got me,
it's,
like,
it's two videos you can watch. You can watch both Eddie Burbeck's and his friends, because I watched both of them.
Oh, there's another one where they went there? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the one that Ted, his friend Ted, went with him on this trip to all the Rainforest Cafes because it was his idea.
And he made his own video then?
Yeah, it's funny to watch his video after watching Eddie's, because Eddie is so miserable and Ted's really not. So
I didn't know he made one too. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, they're all really funny videos, or at least the one I saw, the Eddie one. But hilarious. I wish we could thaw something, do something like that.
I know.
Whatever. And then but anyway, so, you know, they got like a cruise line, you know, thing going on with it. They got a play where Matt Damon's playing Loki. There's some other actor that I don't know. He looks familiar, but I'm not sure who.
The actor playing Thor is actually Chris Hemsworth's brother Luke.
Okay, maybe that's why.
it's Luke Hemsworth, who looks a little bit like his brother. Okay, so, but he's just not quite as in shape. So
yeah, so they're reenacting like the, you know, Loki's death again, like just like they were at the in Ragnarok, I think, the same scene, and then so like, you know, terrible play, like the people
Melissa McCarthy is playing Hela.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, she comes out and breaks the hammer. And I mean, the whole thing's just like a disaster. And then, but then Gore shows up later on, I think that night, because they kind of, you know, I don't remember what happened in between them, but I think Gore shows up there and casts a shadow over the land.
And the shadows turn into these, like, big, like, bug type creatures, like, almost like spiders or something.
It almost reminded me of Stranger Things, almost.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like, I wonder, like, if they were just taking cues from each other, because, like, he's got these tentacle things that can, like, wrap people. I mean, it's like, almost seems exactly like that, almost, like, weird. But, like, so they're, like, attacking the children, just like in Stranger Things. And then, there's, like, a big battle going on, you know, Thor there, Valkyrie shows up, and then during the battle, we see Mjolnir, like, just go past and, like, destroys, you know, some monster by going through his body or whatever, face or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Thor's going to grab it, and then it just, like, shoots back towards, you know, Jane. At first, we don't really see who it is. We just see the hand, and it kind of zooms down to, you know, her face, and then we got, or her helmet. So he doesn't really know who it is at this point. And then she does this really cool thing now. Since the hammer's technically still broken, it's like it could be pieced back together, but it's not really whole. So she just like uses that to shoot like shards of it at all these other creatures, which is like really, really cool. And then it just like reassembles itself. Like, oh, like Avengers Assemble, but it's instead of.
And the reason I don't know if we mentioned this, I don't think we did, because I just read it, was the reason that it's protecting her is because Thor asked it to watch over her years ago.
Oh, okay.
So that's why she's able to wield it and everything, so. Yeah.
That makes sense. So yeah, they win the battle, kind of-ish, and then she reveals herself and... And then, you know, he's, like, clearly still in love with her. He's like, oh, how long's it been? He's like, oh, it's only been, like, 8 years, 5 months, you know, 200 days or whatever, you know?
Yeah. down to the minute, almost. And,
yeah. Yeah, literally, I think, down to the minute. Like, and then they kind of start sort of arguing. They're like, yeah, you know, kind of, you know, left each other or whatever. So I don't remember what it was or something like that. Or she wrote, because they started going into, like, a narration thing with Korg kind of narrating the movie a little bit.
Yeah, and that's where we find out that he had basically enchanted Mjolnir years ago to help protect her.
Yeah.
So,
that was insane.
Yeah. So, you know, after Gorr attacks the town and he has stolen all the kids, including Heimdall's son, they have like a big town meeting, things go, you know, whatever happens. But to cut to it, we end up having, Thor, Mighty Thor. That's who Jane is now. And King Valkyrie and Korg, they all go off to fight, Gorr to basically try to free the kidnapped kids.
Yeah.
And they need a vessel to do it in, so they get a ship.
Like an actual ship.
Yeah. And then it's flying off with the goats helping guide them.
We're always screaming all the time. Yeah,
and it's kind of like, it reminds me of Santa Claus's sleigh. Which is interesting because, a lot of influence for Santa Claus comes from a Norse mythology. So,
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, what happens after they go off then?
They're trying to find. Thor is able to teach Heimdall's son, who now goes by the name Axel. Named after Axl Rose because he's really into Guns N' Roses, and he teaches him how to do the same thing that Heimdall did, where they can sort of communicate via like thoughts or whatever. And so Thor shows up, you know, like in like a mental, I don't know what you even call it, like spirit realm or something like that, to the kids to like let them know what's going on and try to find out like where they're going, stuff like that, and then. find out that they're going to, I forgot the name, it's the center of the universe, or I forgot exactly what.
Yeah, it's, they're trying to get to, is this where he's trying to get to the, what's the place, I don't know
what Eternity?
Eternity is what he's trying to get to. Is it Eternity?
But it's at the center of the universe.
Yeah, Eternity.
I'm not sure if I'm, I'm not sure if I'm skipping stuff or not.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. But before that, the group ends up traveling to Omnipotence City.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. That's pretty awesome.
Where they're trying to I looked into the Norse thing too for a second there, and yeah, like Odin was basically the basis for Santa Claus when it comes to Norse mythology, and then it ended bleeding into like more Eastern and Western European cities and stuff like that, and then eventually making it to the United States. So that's why he's got the long white beard and stuff. Mixed in with Saint Nicholas and all these other things. But yeah, that's an interesting story that we could talk about in some other time. But they go to Omnipotence City, which is where like there's a big gathering going on of all the gods of the universe. Their leader of the gods is Zeus, played to hysterical effect Russell Crowe. There we go. I blanked on Russell Crowe's name. That's sad for me. Yeah. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But Russell Crowe was great in their role, I think. Basically Zeus is afraid of Gore and unwilling to help. So
yeah,
there's like a bunch of like little hysterical scenes going on there. And they even have like a, one of the gods is like an animated creature from a Pixar movie.
Yeah. And just like there's a dumpling god, god of dumplings apparently. Mm-hmm. And then and Zeus keeps doing this thing where he's like, they're trying to plan like their next orgy whenever that's supposed to happen, or this year's orgy or whatever. Yeah. They're like, you're not invited to the orgy or whatever. Cause he like, cause Thor asks, you know, for his help and he strips him naked.
Yeah. When he said that, my niece's, boyfriend who went to the movie with me just turned to me and said, did he say what I just think he said?
Yeah,
you know, it's like this is a Disney movie. Not really, but yeah, I know, I'm just joking, it was just funny.
And then he's like, yeah, you're not invited or whatever, and then you know Bob, and of course all the women like faint or swoon or whatever type of thing, you know,
for
they
swoon for because Thor ends up naked.
Yeah, because Zeus thinks he's wearing like a disguise or whatever.
Yeah, and he takes his clothes off a bit too much. And we do Taika Waititi was on a talk show, and they had blurred out that the Thor's butt in the photo that he showed, and he says, don't worry, if you go to the movie you get the whole Chris Hemsworth.
That's it.
Yeah.
He had some cool tattoos. He had a rip, rest in peace, Loki.
Yeah.
On his neck, which, you know, it shows how much, you know, he really did care about Loki throughout his whole life and stuff like that. And he also had some other things too. I think there was a Tony Stark thing and a couple other people that died. That's but not cool. Vision for some reason. I'm not sure why. Because Vision literally died in front of him, like literally. So you think that
unless it was hiding somewhere we didn't see on his body, who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Somewhere else. I don't know where, but
maybe one part they didn't show us.
Yeah, maybe, and then because that's where you have Vision, I guess, you know. So no, sorry, it's bad, but and then, so it appears that Thor killed Zeus, but with his own lightning bolt, because Zeus has this whole thing where he's like doing this big show with the lightning bolt, making a whole thing out of it, you know, or thunderbolt or whatever you'd call it. Because technically, lightning is a thunderbolt. I don't know.
He says his lightning bolt is called thunder. That's what he said it was named.
Because he says that thunder technically is really just lightning, I guess. I forgot what he said.
Thunder's just like the sound of lightning, is what he said.
Yeah, was like basically saying that Thor is like number two, you know, whatever. Like, which, you know, technically he is, because he even, you know, said that Zeus was kind of like his hero, that he, like, that's who he was trying to.
And Zeus really proves that whole, like, you know, they say later in the movie, not to meet your heroes sort of
thing. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Zeus and Thor get into a big fight. Mm-hmm. And Thor impales Zeus with his own thunderbolt. Then Valkyrie steals it during the escape.
Yeah, because he wouldn't help him, because he kept saying that, oh, Gore has only killed some, like, low-level, like, low-tier gods that, you know, eh, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. But really, he told him in secret. He's like, yeah, I know, but, like, I don't want people to panic about this, you know, that yeah. whole thing. You know, that same old story of, like, we won't tell people the truth because blah, 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 you know, like Batman, what was it, Dark Knight, kind of that same thing, like, yeah. you know, we don't tell people how bad this situation really is or whatever. You know, so they leave, yeah, then what happens? I forgot where they went after that.
They continue on their journey, and Thor and Jane kind of rekindle their romantic relationship, and she inadvertently tells him during this that she has cancer. Which, you know, he's like, oh no, you know, sort of shit, you know, and he's, but he was also talking about, because earlier he had been told that, you know, the way he wants to, that he wants to, what is it, like, feel pain or something, like, feel,
Oh, yeah, something about, like, it's better to feel, like, shitty than,
shitty,
like,
that's it, yeah, I was trying to remember the word that he used.
That's what,
because that's, it's what, Star-Lord told him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, you know, you sometimes you need to feel shitty about somebody, you know, basically it proves that you are able to love and stuff, and so he said he wanted to, you know, feel shitty about her.
So, yeah, exactly. He's like, wait, that came out wrong, that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyways, the group ends up traveling, oh yeah, during the big fight, Gore lost his, not Gore, I mean, Korg lost his body, so.
Yeah, that's right, and the Zeus killed, quote, killed him, but not
so,
really.
So now he's just a, like, a mask face. Basically. A head. Yeah.
Valkyrie tied him to her head or something like that.
Yeah, so
or whatever.
She could see out of the back, basically. Not really, but, you know, he could tell her what was going on behind her.
Yeah.
So the group travels to where the kids are, which is called, appropriately, the Shadow Realm.
Hmm.
Yeah, where everything is, like, black and white.
Like, yeah, literally all color is just gone.
Gone,
like,
yeah, and this whole thing turns out to be, like, a trap from Gore to try to take Thor's axe Stormbreaker.
Oh, it reminded me really quick. Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So there's, like, this whole running gag in the movie where Stormbreaker's, like, jealous that he wants Mjolnir back and is, like,
yeah.
threatening gestures and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And he has to go, like, comfort her, basically, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
You know, an ex being jealous sort of thing. Or
an ex being jealous.
An ex being jealous about an ex.
yeah.
So,
it's a whole new thing to "so I married an axe murderer," you know. Only me. Sorry.
Gore wants to use Stormbreaker to open the Bifrost, which will help him enter the realm of eternity. So he can wish for eternity to destroy all the gods, like everywhere. So Gore ends up overpowering them, and he severely injures Valkyrie, which pissed me off because she wasn't in the movie enough.
yeah.
And he steals Stormbreaker. And then the group ends up going back to Earth. We find out that Mjolnir is actually draining the health of Jane. It gives her powers while she's wielding it, but it's draining her powers when she's not. Which I'm still not fully understanding, but I guess it makes sense in a way.
Because it was supposed to help her.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, but
it's not really.
Maybe because she's not, she's just regular human. Because Cap, you know, yeah, he's human, but he had that serum, so maybe that was able to not, like, affect him as bad. Plus, he only used it once, so it wasn't like it was all the time, you know.
So yeah, it's kind of like it's interesting because it's like the sword that Gore has basically is making him evil, more evil as he uses it,
and this, also infects him too. Though,
and,
too.
It infects him, and then we've got Mjolnir doing a similar thing, not making her meaner or anything, but makes her stronger and makes her love more and stuff like that, but also is draining her power, yeah. You know, and making her more sick.
Right. I wonder if he wasn't already sick, though, if it would have just made her sick.
That's what I wonder. Yeah, like if a completely healthy human was able to wield the hammer, if that would happen, you know? Like if you gave it to, you know, I don't know, if you gave the ability to wield it to, I don't know, let's say like Sam Wilson or something, you know, somebody that's like a relatively healthy human being, you know?
Yeah.
Without any kind of superpowers, really. So, you know. So we got, we go to the hospital there and we find out that, if she continues to use Mjolnir, she's going to die. So, Thor talks her into letting him go and fight this alone so she can recuperate.
Mm-hmm.
And, so Thor goes off and he finds the children by himself. And he is able to imbue them with the power of Thor to fight Gore's creatures while he battles Gore. So is this a power that he's always had?
I you see, that's the thing. I wonder, you know, and I wonder, too, about, like, how did he get his eyes back or his one eye and his eyes are different color.
Oh, he got his eye back in Endgame.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fake eye or something. I didn't know.
It was a fake eye that can move and stuff. But yeah.
I know, but this looked like regular eyes, though, it seemed like, to me.
Well, that one did, too.
I don't know. It seemed like his eyes were bluer this time around than they used
might
to be.
Might just be the lighting and the color timing.
Well, I've heard, I watched a few theory videos before this movie came out, and apparently there's, like, a version of Thor in one of the comic series where he like basically powers up or whatever. So I don't know if that was sort of some kind of indication that he's kind of leveled up on his powers or whatever.
I don't know, but Chris Hemsworth does have really blue eyes, so I don't know. Okay. So
I don't know. To me, it seemed like
it just seemed like
they're like way like more blue. I don't know. A few other people noted it too, so I don't know. But
I think a lot of the colors stood out more in this movie based upon the color timing of the movie, like the way that they balance the color in the film and stuff, so
maybe
yeah.
I don't know, yeah. But yeah, it could just be like whole convenience magic TV too, you know, like what they did with Loki, where suddenly Loki had this power to block like certain things from falling on top of them, which was never ever revealed once that he had. Like, you know?
My thing is it's just always funny because like there's that, plus there's the idea that there's this thing Eternity where you can go and make a wish. Did they not know about this before the whole Thanos thing, that they could have made a wish that Thanos would, or just undo what Thanos did? Or,
well, it may have been hard to get there, or maybe you needed a Necro Sword to get there as well, as well as Stormbreaker, so they probably figured this would be impossible. But, nobody knew anything about the Necro Sword except for gods, you know, and what probably wasn't pertinent information at that time to even talk about it, you know, because it wouldn't even matter, you know. But so is Eternity like an actual being, or is it just like an energy? Does it talk? I mean, is it like, you know, like.
So in the comics, Eternity is a fictional cosmic entity. Eternity, along with his sister Infinity, were born with the Big Bang. And they
is that where the Infinity Stones come from?
Possibly. And they represent the multiverse in its current iteration.
Hmm.
But each universe has its own Eternity and Affinity that represent that universe.
Well, see, I hate it when they do that. Because, like, if they're supposed to be, like, whatever.
This isn't, sorry. This is in the comics too. So
no, I know. I just I don't like the idea because it's like if something's supposed to be like a all powerful being, they should exist as one person throughout the multiverse, not have different versions of that. Like there shouldn't, like for example, there shouldn't be like an Allah in every single universe. A different Jesus in every, like those should be beings that just are like they exist in as themselves, but they're like across the multiverse. But sorry, that's just a, like a
I was just gonna continue here too. There was a single universe whose animating force was the primal cosmic being that would later call itself the first firmament. The first firmament was attacked by its creations, the Celestials, during the so like the Celestials that we encountered in the Eternals.
So they created the Celestials then?
So during the catastrophic cosmic war that erupted between them and their counterpart creations, the aspirants, the climax of that war resulted in the Celestials' weapons tearing the first universe apart, the core essence of the first firmament, and the surviving aspirants desperately fled the void outside creation. The torn fragments of the surrender first universe then coalesced into a new being that was made up of hundreds of universes, the second cosmos, which was the first multiverse.
Okay, it's very confusing.
Yes, it is. Creation would then evolve, die, and be reborn six more times, each time evolving and changing to add new realities, forces, and properties to itself, and all these changes would be reflected in the corresponding birth of eternity.
I understood none of that.
Me too. But that's what we got here. That's the background.
I think sometimes Marvel jumps the shark a little bit because I literally understood none of that. Like,
see, Eternity was a creation along with the Eternals and stuff like that of Steve Ditko, who was a big fan of cosmic type stuff back in the 70s and everything.
I can see that, I guess.
I think he was doing a lot of shrooms or something.
Probably, because, these comic books were, like, meant for, like, kids and teenagers. How would anyone be able to understand any of that stuff? But, like,
well, if you're doing maybe that stuff, maybe.
Maybe it makes more sense when you're actually reading a comic book and it's, like, bite-sized, as opposed to reading, like, an article where it's, like, they coalesce everything into, like a research paper. So it's like, you're like, what the hell is going on here? This whole story is probably spread out to like 100 different issues.
But so, like in the MCU, we just get it as a character in this movie.
We just get this dude who like looks like, well, by the way, during the battle, though, it looked, I don't know if it was me. A couple of the people I was sitting next to, one of them whispered something to their friend or whatever. And I think they said the same thing, that it looked like a Celestial statue's head fell down during the battle and that they're...
Yeah.
Chamber or whatever was that? Did you see that?
I saw that too.
Okay, I was.
I don't know if that was a Celestial statue or a statue to eternity or what it was. You know,
so. It looked, but the eyes, like the six eyes, or whatever, it looked like a Celestial to me. I think, and I heard this guy talking to his friend, and I think I whispered, "Was that a Celestial?" So I wasn't the only one, I guess, who saw it or thought I saw it. And the battle was pretty cool though. Got that all these kids were like basically like the one kid was like had like just like a stuffed bunny as her weapon or whatever, something like that. But other kids like had like, you know, rocks or whatever they were able to pick up, you know.
So my thing about the kids were, what was the deal with all the, okay, so some of them were Asgardians and some of them weren't.
Well, they all...
Do they all live in New Asgard, but they were just...
They all lived in New Asgard. Well, that's the thing, because Asgardians apparently wasn't just a home to, like, actual, like, quote, native Asgardians, as far as I was able to understand. I don't know if that's true or not, but even with Ragnarok, it seemed like, you know, there were people who... Like, for example, Loki technically is not an Asgardian by birth. You know what I mean? So, like... You know, if they're willing to make an exception for Loki, maybe it was just kind of like a, I mean, because, too, you got Norse gods, and you got,
plus New Asgard itself is, like, a refuge for people, so it should...
It could just been, like, yeah, like, basically, like, literally...
I mean, Korg lived there for a while, too, so, you know, it's like...
I mean, yeah, it was called New Asgard,
and Meek lives there, so, you know, so...
And plus, too, you got, like, you know, like, for example, Heimland and Valkyrie, you know, they're both black, and, you know, as far as I know, Norse gods are usually, you know, not black because they live like in the, you know, they're from like, they're god like people from like cold, brutal, wintry, you know, kind of places. And usually, you know, the people's pigmentation in those lands are kind of white.
Well, that's also in the whole, like, you know, way art was depicted too of these gods, anyways. So it's just doesn't necessarily mean anything, it's just the way they're depicted too. I mean,
well, yeah, but
they're all fictional anyways. So, but yeah,
well, no, they're not fictional. Sorry, Thor's a real god, and so is Odin, and don't you ever blaspheme them. but that was just the point I was making, though, is that maybe Asgard was just like a sort of cosmopolitan like city or whatever you call it, you know. But who knows, really? But yeah, there was a few people who were like looked like they were like aliens.
Because the thing I was just wondering is because I wasn't sure if those were like kids he stole from other planets or if they were all from New Asgard.
Oh yeah, I don't know about that actually. That would be he probably just would have stolen there because he was looking for Thor specifically he wanted Stormbreaker for himself because
they were stolen from other places, then maybe you know you would have had some people from those planets helping out too.
Right, which would have been bad.
Wondering where their kids are. So, yeah.
Well, my kid's back. Sorry. Reminds me of that scene from Arrested Development.
Oh, it reminds me of, it reminds me of Gone Baby Gone with Amy Ryan's character saying, "Give me back my motherfucking daughter."
I don't think I've seen that one, but...
Oh, yeah. She says it, like, 8 times in the movie because her daughter's stolen, and she's, like, talking to people, and she's like, "Just give me back my motherfucking daughter."
Wow.
With a horrible Boston accent. Anyways, I love Amy Ryan. Ryan is an actress, but... Uh-oh. Oh, my God. So the kids help fight, So, they basically, what happens next then?
Jane shows up, even though she's not supposed to, because she can tell.
She shows up on, it looks on Valkyrie's horse.
Yeah, and then she helps fight, you know, the battle and stuff like that, and they eventually are able to, sort of follow Gore, I guess, to eternity or whatever, and then I don't remember exactly how, but they I think they stab Gore with the sword at one point.
He's pretty much dying.
So Thor does the whole speech, you know, "You don't have to be a bad guy, blah blah blah," type of thing. You know, see another single superhero movie or show in the entire history of comedy, or not comedy, but whatever, TV, and then he's like, you know, like, "You can bring her back," which, again, that's what I hate about these movies. Like, they're good movies, but it's like, if your wish is so obvious, like, why do this weird workaround? Like, why not just make that, like, the goal of your goal? Like, I got this power, or I've got this sword, or whatever object gives me a power. Why don't I just wish for the thing I actually want instead of, like, going through this whole journey? Like, for example, with Wanda, why couldn't she just been like, "Hey, what if America can just, like, learn her powers and you can teach her, or I can teach her, and then she can just then show you to a universe where your kids exist, but their mom died or she's not there or whatever. Yeah. And you could just go be their mom. There you go. End of movie right there. Like, you don't need to kill thousands of people at Kamertage and burn them alive and kill." Yeah.
And why was it so immediately needing to happen sort of thing, too?
Yeah, it's just so stupid. So, like, with that, in this movie, too. All right, you got the Necro Sword. okay, you killed the god that betrayed you. Fine, okay, you can kill one god. No big deal. He was an asshole, and he was even going to kill you. So technically, you could even call it off to self-defense. And there's no police for killing gods, so even if you did, no one's going to do anything about
what
it.
The?
So why not then just use that to be like, hey, can you bring my daughter back? There you go, end of movie.
But the sword corrupted him.
Yeah, there's always got to be a convenient thing about
it. I know, I'm just saying that that's what the sword is.
The sword is so powerful, but it corrupts you. Ooh, okay, but then... But then now they got the same thing with Blade, so is a Necro Sword, like, is it somehow...
I'm just wondering if it's connected to the sword from the end of Eternals, so...
Like, Ebony Blade, is Ebony Blade, like, forged from the same power as that sword, or whatever, and then, anyway.
But if you look at it, the way it's corrupting him, it's kind of like with drugs, like, you could go to the doctor and be given Oxycontin as something that's helping you with your back. But then eventually it starts to corrupt you by you getting addicted to it, and you become an addict. So it could be a metaphor.
So anyway, Thor convinces him to not wish to kill all the gods, but to bring back his daughter. And then he's like, but I'm dying, so then she won't have anyone to take care of her. And she's like, no, she won't. She'll have me or Bar.
Can Eternity only only grant one wish? Is that what the thing is?
Probably. So, I don't know. Like, I would imagine. Because it's like, Because
my thing is why didn't they save Jane?
Because Jane didn't, she would rather, have a child be alive.
Yeah, no, I get that. But my thing is there is only one wish then. That's what I was getting at. Is because, if there was more than one, they could have saved her.
Yeah.
But I guess they must have said that, and I missed it. I didn't really know.
I don't know if they even did. They may have not even said that, but it just could have been assumed. I don't know. Because, if this being is so hard to get to, I doubt that it would just be unlimited wishes. It's probably just literally...
But my thing is, too, why couldn't he make one wish, and the wish is, can you bring back love and...
No.
Is that two?
No. it counts. And so that's where we get the title Love, because that was the name was Love. And then... So that's why it's called Love and Thunder.
So we get this thing at the end where it's like Thor is now basically the adoptive father to Love.
Yeah.
And cute little girl at the end, basically.
Yeah, but Jane dives in his arms, though, before that.
Yeah.
And then turns to, dust or the gold stuff that Odin did.
But when Odin died. Gold stuff.
What's that?
I said the gold stuff.
The gold stuff, the gold dust or whatever,
and then
she dies and just turns to, which is interesting because why would that happen? Why wouldn't she just die and not, and so that's interesting right there, because wait, only Odin did that, and Odin's a god, so does that mean Jane's a god? Anyway,
the end too, Thor is now carrying Mjolnir again, and Love is now carrying Stormbreaker. Yeah, she had actually drawn on Mjolnir, drew a face on him. So
why did he give her the big one? Why wouldn't she be holding the hammer? I mean, she's smaller.
I don't know. Maybe she can't wield it.
Oh, well, she's not worthy.
I don't know. I think she would be, but who knows.
Anyway, they had this sort of debate at breakfast because he made her pancakes, but she didn't like them.
Yeah.
And then she called him a demon, go to hell demon. She shoots stuff out of her eyes. So
yeah,
that's interesting. And then breaks his pan that he just bought.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps telling her to put her shoes on. She doesn't want to put her shoes on. She wants to wear her slippers or whatever. Right. So we think it's a regular argument taking place, but what's actually going on outside of this argument, which is funny, interesting.
Yeah. And then they go off and fight, and he's teaching her how to be a superhero, basically.
There's this whole battle going on outside, and we're just we're made to think it's an apartment or some house, and they're just
gonna go to the park or something,
hanging out. Yeah, but no, it's you gotta get your boots or shoes on because we gotta go fight these bad guys. Or and they play Sweet Child of Mine. They played four Guns N' Roses songs that I counted throughout the movie.
Yeah,
that's gotta be a big budget. I mean, for four,
Unless they cut a deal or something, and maybe
who knows? Well, I know. Still, they played Welcome to the Jungle. They played November Rain.
Yeah,
they played Sweet Child of Mine, and they also played Paradise City.
And they played some Dio too in there. I think
there was Dio at the end. Yeah, Rainbow in the Dark, which you know, because Rainbow.
Yeah.
The
whole, Bifrost thing and everything. So yeah.
Right, we do have a few things that are probably going to upset the people who hate anything that's woke in movies. So Korg apparently is gay, and I guess so was his parents. So there's probably
Whole species are men. So
well, whatever, but there's probably going to be a thing about that. Like, oh, we can't have a movie without at least one person being gay. And it's like, I know you're so oppressed,
dude. And and Valkyrie's bisexual. So
well, yeah. So you can't, you know, like
it was confirmed in this movie too. So yeah, So then we have the credits start rolling, and then we get a mid-credit scene where a recuperating Zeus, so I guess he isn't dead, sends his son Hercules to kill Thor. And Hercules is played by Brett Goldstein, who I haven't watched yet, but people know from Ted Lasso. So
oh, okay.
I guess he's one of the main stars of that show. And then we have an after credit scene. in a post credit scene where we've got Jane arrives at the gates of Valhalla, which I don't get because she didn't really die in battle. She died after battle.
Exactly. Well, maybe Thor was wrong.
Yeah, that's maybe true.
He was missing. Well, yeah. Odin didn't die in battle.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I guess technically he's like the top god, so maybe there have been like an exception for him. But yeah, he didn't die in battle. He was talking to his sons when it happened.
And she arrives at the gates of Valhalla, where Heimdall's still a doorman. and he welcomes her and thanks her for helping to save his son. So.
Axel.
Yes.
I wanted to mention something though too. So I think it was a fun little joke. I don't know if everyone got it or not, but when Korg, you know, was doing his narrations throughout the movie here and there, he was talking about how he met this guy that he likes now named Dwayne. Get it? Dwayne the Rock.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock people. You know, so I don't know if that was
that's funny.
Went over too many people's heads or not, but
no, that was, I laughed at it. Yeah,
it was kind
of
funny.
It was funny some of Korg's narration, because that's where I think they needed Korg to do that, because you didn't want to, you know, have a lot of exposition done other ways. I mean, it was kind of just good to break it off into funny narration.
Because he's like,
but it was funny. The other funny thing is that he kept getting Jane's name wrong. He called her. He called her Jane Fonda at one point.
Right, Jane Fonda at one point.
And then he called her. And then he called her Jodie Foster.
Oh, he did.
That's So yeah, there was that. Those were kind of funny. I would have like I said. I mean, my only complaints really are that I would have liked more Valkyrie, and I would have liked a little bit less Korg. But it's cool.
It is what it is.
Yeah. It was still a good movie. It was better than Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Definitely.
Which I still enjoyed, but, you know, it was still, you know, not as good as some other movies. Hopefully, whatever comes next in the MCU is going to be just as good. I'm not sure what's coming next, but
we'll see.
I don't feel like looking it up, but you can do that for yourself, folks listening at home. any other final thoughts here before we wrap things up?
No, not really.
Okay, so also before we really wrap things up, though, do you think that Hercules is going to be like the big villain if there's a Thor 5?
I hope not, because he looked kind of stupid. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he looked like a Greek god, which
yeah.
In comparison to all our superheroes, they don't really look that good.
They're not that big.
They don't look very menacing. Yeah. They don't look.
No.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be like a fake out. He'll get killed like in the first scene.
Or he'll go off to try to kill him, but then become his buddy.
Yeah, because Hercules, you know, is supposed to be a good guy in all the things yeah. I've
and basically, you know, like Thor is Odin's son and Hercules is Zeus's son, so they're kind of like second generation gods here, and they're kind of like, hey, you know, maybe yeah. they can relate on that level. It'd be cool if they had like a buddy comedy next with the two of them going off to
yeah, fight, that would be fight some cool. bigger
threat. Yeah, I do think it, the one other thing that I found interesting too about this movie is that Christian Bale goes, he's a great actor, but he goes so deep into his characters. It was interesting that he seemed like he was in a different movie than the rest of the people.
Yeah, no.
You know, like he was so in character and he changes his body for like every freaking role he does. It's
I know.
Creepy. Can't be healthy.
yeah. He did that for that one movie.
Oh, years ago. He did Machinist when he was like really younger, right before he did Batman Begins. He was looking like a stick figure.
But didn't he also do it for Dick Cheney movie or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, then he gained a lot of weight for that. So
he also did that for, wasn't he the one that played the guy who killed John Lennon, or is that a different actor?
Oh no, that was Morbius. Jared Leto.
He gained a bunch of weight yeah. to look like that mm-hmm. guy too. But that's another quote method actor, you know.
Yeah.
You know, which Jared Leto, I'm sorry, is like a piece of shit. But like doesn't he have like a harem of like young women or something?
Supposedly
like
he's
that?
Like a cult leader.
I can totally see that, like just the way he acts, mm-hmm. like his eyes, they look kind of like
and this,
piercing.
This is all allegedly, folks.
Well, yeah, but fine, whatever. It's probably true. Like I'm tired of saying allegedly when we know like 99.9% true. Like you know, like well, we're gonna save our asses because we don't have that one tiny sliver extra evidence. Like
it's still out there. It's not really sure what's going on, but he has been known to be over the top. Like, I mean, he sent shit in the mail to people when he was playing the Joker. So,
God.
Yeah. And I think like a heart or something in the mail or something like that. I think he sent like a bag of shit one time.
To who?
Impossible, like to co-stars.
To play the Joker in that shitty movie?
Yeah. But yeah. He,
wow.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't even a good Joker or a good movie.
No.
Like it wasn't like, you know, like, Joaquin Phoenix or the guy died. I forgot his name. Batman. Shit.
Now you got me blanking.
Sorry, because he's been dead for like 15 years. Whatever. Batman Dark Knight, second one. Shit, I can't think of his name. I love getting older.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, the dude, he was, like, famous actor. He was in, like, a bunch of shit before he died.
Heath Ledger.
Come on, why can't I think of his name?
Heath shit. Ledger.
Yeah, there we go. Wow.
There we go.
I mean, to be
I
fair,
knew it would
he's
come
dead
to me.
To be fair, he's been dead for, like, 14 years. But, like...
But still.
So, well, I'm just saying that he hasn't been, like,
well
in stuff.
Well, the fact that I couldn't remember that right away, and I couldn't also remember Russell Crowe earlier is... Maybe it's just that I'm not really remembering the name of Australian actors.
Could be that.
But I did remember Chris Hemsworth's name, and he's...
but yeah, but he's like the main guy, though. You know,
yeah, that's true. I actually... And I remembered Luke Hemsworth, so... he's Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Zeus... But yeah, Zeus was only in a movie for like 5 minutes straight. Or a total, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for me. I don't really have any more thoughts.
Me too.
I think it's a good movie. I liked it. I definitely would recommend this more than Scarlet Witch in the Multiverse of Madness featuring Doctor Strange. And
yes.
So do it. Go watch it. It's fun.
If you've listened to this whole thing and you haven't watched it, that's kind of
Well, we kind of ruined it for you, sort of. But then again, our review wasn't really chronological, so technically you
didn't see but
it
still
the way it was meant to be. I don't know. Whatever.
I doubt anybody listened to this whole thing without seeing it. So,
yeah, you shouldn't listen to podcasts for things that you haven't seen yet.
Especially when this says spoiler filled right into the title that I'm
going
to post for this.
Whatever.
So, till next time, folks. Be sure to go check out our website, all2real2.com. You can check out all of our links to everything there. You can, you know, let us know what you thought about the film. Send me a message at mike@cullenpark.com. It's the best way to get a hold of me. But yeah, until next time, folks, be good to each other. And just remember, love is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.